got you shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match.
Hey, everybody, good morning, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks in Sandy Spring. Hey, if you've never been down here to Business Radio Networks, you ought to check it out. If you ever thought about hosting your own show or doing a radio show, it's a fabulous place to do it. You're going to be listening to the Shrimp Tank for the next hour, so thank you for joining us during lunchtime. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkin. Sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder of the now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And what do we do here on the Shrimp Tank? Well, on most weeks, we're interviewing some of the brightest and best CEOs in and around the state of Georgia. But as of late, we've been getting our young and up-and-coming CEOs, these kids at Kennesaw State, that actually, they're not just in classes learning about entrepreneurship, but they're building businesses right now as we speak for the future. We've got on a great guest today. We've got on Sammy and Ben, who basically own several businesses, which we're going to talk about a little bit. But if you ever thought about getting into the vape business or the smoke shop business, or even just selling products, it's amazing stuff what they've built in a short period of time. And as always, you can get a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankbot.com, or you can download us on iTunes for Shrimp Tank. We're getting feedback every week about people that are listening to the show in the cars and learning all kinds of information from our CEOs. And I wanted to bring in Chris. And tell me right now, I was there last week. I actually brought my mom, which is crazy.
Yes, you did.
Most people
Absolutely.
Don't bring their moms to this. But tell us what's going on with the KSU 100, and I'll tell you a little bit of my experience going
yeah,
through this.
Yeah, your experience, which I was imagining what your reaction was to some of those pitches. But yeah, it was a brutal night, Thursday night, where we had to cut down to 25, right? Between the videos from our strategic partners, we had students from Honduras, students from Romania doing pitches by video. We had live pitches with the students coming in, and we had to cut it down to 25, which is always tough to see students who work hard and work hard building something. But you got to think with this KSU Top 100, every single person involved in this competition will be eliminated except one.
That's where it's going to end up.
That's where it's going to end up, yeah.
So what do you do as far as feedback? Just interesting, for those of you that don't know exactly how this happened, 50 kids from the school and partners from around the, I guess, Honduras and other countries presented ideas to us. They had 1 minute to be able to prepare their presentation. So how do you actually prepare a kid, and for entrepreneurs that are out there, that you have to pitch your business to somebody? Maybe you have to raise capital. Maybe you're looking to get a strategic partnership somewhere. How do you actually coach them to be able to make that 1 minute presentation?
Yeah, that's such a challenge, but I love that art of figuring it out, because if you think about the attention span of most people, you know, the highest studies say it's 9 seconds. So you've got 9 seconds.
Is that what
you know,
it is?
It's like talking to a goldfish. You know, you have to really sort of focus in, how do I capture their interest or else I'm going to lose them? Anytime someone's talking to us, there's a 45% chance they're thinking about something else. So the idea of, okay, I've got a very limited amount of time to impress upon them, because you got to think about it from the investor standpoint. I mean, you saw pitch after pitch after pitch. You don't have time for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, or some people say, oh, I need at least 20 minutes. If it takes you 20 minutes to convince me that you're cool, you're not that cool. You know, in 1 minute, you can give me enough to go, wow, there's something interesting there. You can give me some type of sign of progress, some type of evidence. You know, like, they say the great what separates good jazz from great jazz is the notes that they don't play. So what do I not say is as important as what I do say, and cramming that in, like saying, okay, I've got 60 seconds to make an impression. What do I choose to talk about?
Now, how do you actually tell one of the kids once they go through this? Because I have to say, there were some decent ideas that were in there. There were a few of them that basically, well, they sucked. They just weren't good. They just they were not good at all. So how do you let the student down gently? Because I know that, and this, by the way, Kennesaw State is blowing up in the entrepreneurial world right now. It's the only university right now that actually has an accreditation, right? A four-year degree.
Yep. Only degree in entrepreneurship.
So how do you let a kid down? You know, there's a, let's say there was a sophomore in there or a junior. They came in. They thought they had the greatest idea in the world. How do you tell them that, like, hey, your idea sucks?
Yeah, it's a tough thing to sort of be the killer of dreams, because we want to be a catalyst of that, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the killer of it. But, you know, what we do is we try our best to have a culture and have curriculum that teaches failure is okay. You know, in fact, we don't get better unless we learn to fail faster. And failing is not seizing the opportunity. It's not necessarily like not doing it, right? So many of us think that failure, it means as long as I don't fail, I succeed. But that's like saying, as long as I don't die, I live. So developing that kind of culture and then reminding them, say, look, Google was told no 17 times before they got funded. So if you're serious about this, you get feedback and you keep charging. They didn't like it. Okay, go get 25 customers who do like what you're saying. And if you can't show me customers or a clear path to customers, then maybe there's something to learn from that. So how do we sort of adapt, pivot, so that we develop something that matters?
Yeah, I think it was really courageous. We had one student in there, and then we'll get to our guests today, Sammy and Ben, that basically he just couldn't remember his pitch. He came in and he froze up. He drew a complete blank, except for the laughs from after being blank. He laughed, and I didn't laugh. He laughed, and then I laughed with my mom in the car on the way home. but, you know, what do you say to somebody like that basically they spend a half a semester trying to memorize a one-minute presentation?
Yep. And then they blow it.
And they basically, absolutely. He blew it.
But that's so true to life, right? There's that time in a conference room where we have to stand up and defend our position and we blew it. There's that time that, you know, the spotlight's on me and then I have to say the right thing and I messed it up. So giving them those experiences, I think that kid is going to be a better version of himself because he went through that. You know, because he's going to say, wow, that was tough. How do I learn from that? How do I change? How do I make sure that never happens again? Because that didn't feel good. See, that's why I love experiences like that, because you can't replicate that in a classroom. The kid was nervous. He was uptight. He was scared. And, you know, it didn't go his way. But wow, what kind of learning do you get from that?
Yeah. My only advice after seeing all 50 presentations is to remember the people that actually video their whole presentation for a minute to not put the camera sideways. That's one of the good things in there, because I had to wrench my head sideways.
Yeah, there's a lot of staring sideways I saw you doing.
Very, very odd to me, you know, and I don't know. So I guess maybe in the next semester of curriculum, we give them iPhone 101 or something like that about which way you actually put the camera. But it was really great stuff. And for those of you that have never had a chance to take a look at what's happening at Kennesaw State, look, your kids are going to have to be entrepreneurial one way or the other, whether or not they're in a corporate job or they actually run a business. So I don't think there could be any better education than that, because that's the education of life. And you learn it one way or the other. The School of Hard Knocks teaches you a lot. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in the Business Radio X Networks. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting with my co-host, Chris Hanks. You can always hear a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. Check it out. We've got about 100 shows on there now. We're picking up listeners every week of people that learn more and more about what it takes to become an entrepreneur. And I'm excited to have our guest on today, because I literally sat through 49 presentations of businesses that made no revenue. And then these two gentlemen come in for the, but I might say they were well-dressed for the presentation, had on very nice suits. And, and basically, I heard them say something to the effect that their businesses were doing $4.7 million. And at first, I was thinking, is that in pesos or not? But I'm sure it was in real dollars. And they were talking about how they private label products. And I've learned that they owned a business that's actually a live business up and running, Cloud9, Smoke and Vape Co. And it's doing amazing. So we've got on Sammy and Ben, which are two live entrepreneurs that are actually in the Kennesaw State program. And we're going to get to talk to them about their business today.
Absolutely. And they'll get to hear me talk even more later today, because they'll be in my class.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
A downer for you guys. I might vape up before the class or something. Like that. Of course, doing only what's legal in the state of Georgia, which I do believe is under 0.5 THC at this point. That's really where they've set the limit. So I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying you can do that under the way that the federal law works currently in the state law. So that's the way that it is. So, guys, how did you come up with the idea for the business that you have today, and when did you get it started?
About 2011, my parents owned the Hookah Lounge across the street, Skyline.
Oh, no kidding.
And at we only opened from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. and we were selling a crazy amount of hookahs and tobacco through that 7 to 1 a.m. And there was a 700 square foot space across the street for lease. And I was like, probably crazy, but let's try to see if we can start from 10 a.m. to midnight every day and try to see how many hookahs and tobacco we could sell.
So you're saying people would come to the lounge at 10 p.m., they'd sit down, they basically would hookah it up,
uh-huh.
and then at some point they say, I want to buy one of those?
Yeah, so they don't have to keep spending the $12 every day to come in. So, and then from there, it just took off, and...
Yeah, so with the hookah lounge, yeah, we were selling hookahs and tobacco. And then people came in and said, hey, I'm looking for pipes. And we're like, okay, well, we have hookahs. They're like, oh, hookah pipe. No, we're looking for real pipes. So we started, so Ben had this idea, like, hey, let's start carrying all different kinds of pipes and really differentiating our products. And from that day forward, we just kept on differentiating our products. And then we came to a full-on smoke shop. And we only carry, smoking and vaping utensils. Everything else is... We don't carry any of that kind of stuff. And because we sell electronic cigarettes, we don't actually sell cigarettes because that's contradicting yourself. You know, if you want to help people quit smoking cigarettes every day, then you shouldn't put cigarettes in their face.
And this is going to ask you guys, so how do the laws work today? I mean, e-cig, all that vaping, it's all legal above board in the state of Georgia?
Well, as of right now, it is 100% legal. There's not really much regulation except for the bottling and the type of vaporizers that are illegal. But from August 8th, 2016, the FDA regulations actually came into effect, and they're not going to full effect until August 8th, 2018, 2 years after, with the Cole Bishop bill, they're trying to ban certain e-liquids. They have to be tested by the FDA.
Now, am I wrong in saying this, guys, because I do quite a bit of homework before these shows. I didn't know we were going to have this conversation, but I read a lot, despite the fact that people think I don't. And I had read somewhere that I know that, e-gaming has become tremendously big around the world. And I actually saw, or at least I thought I saw, that there was like the vaping championships of the world, that basically they put up almost a tape measure on the wall. And basically, it was who could basically project the biggest vape cloud. Hanks, I kid you not, for $50,000.
$50,000? Is that?
Am I not right on that?
As crazy as it sounds, we have vape competitions at our locations as well. And we have to put a tape measure out for who can blow either the biggest cloud, who can do the most tricks, and...
What kind of tricks do you? That's not like a yo-yo. What is it? what's a vaping type of trick?
Well, the vaping tricks, you can blow O's. You blow like halos over your head.
What?
Yeah, you can blow like jellyfish and octopuses. You can
jellyfish and octopuses.
If you'd like, really? I can teach you.
Wow. Or is that octopi? Right?
Octopus. So, yeah. I guess you can blow multiple of them. I don't know.
Now, if I pay enough sponsorship money, can I get a tape measure that says my company and I'll sponsor a vaping competition?
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm down for that today. Actually, Lee Heisman committed as well. There's a Savant wanted to be in the business of sponsoring vaping competition.
Wow.
But it's very serious. Like, they have them all over the country. And like the ones that we do are at our shops. The winner gets $500. It's not a joke for blowing just a cloud compared to like, they have a lot of them in California that go up to $50,000. Like there's a VaporCon a couple months ago.
VaporCon.
Yeah. Like, they have like, different like that, Dragon, huh? Con and stuff like that. Yeah. They have them in LA. They're like $10,000 prize winners just for like but it'll be like $10,000 for each category. So like, they'll be like tricks. You win $10,000. The winner of the biggest cloud will win $10,000.
Yeah.
The densest cloud will win $10,000.
But we get our money from when we do the our vape competitions is that they have to buy one of our juices at $25 a piece. If you get 100 customers to compete, that's $2,500. So giving $500 is not a big deal.
I'm just interested for people that are listening today because different retail shops make money in different ways. Is yours the kind of business where most of the money is made on the actual equipment, the vaping equipment, or is it in the juice? Literally, that's where you make your money.
Well, a big thing is juice is where you make your money, because hardware is all over Amazon, all over eBay, everywhere you can buy it online. There's literally thousands of competitors online, so it doesn't really make sense to try to compete with them because the margins are so small. But when you do retail, you can charge a little bit more for it, but then you also give the customer all the knowledge they need to actually use the device, compared to if you just buy it on eBay, you have no idea what you're buying. So at least you're able to show them how to use it, what is the different products that are compatible with it.
But yes, the money is made in the juice.
Yeah. The money is made in the juice.
Yes, sir. It's more than
that. Yeah. Juice replacement coils.
So you guys started, okay, so you see this 700 square foot place. You decide, hey, like, will this work? But then you scale this, because now you guys are up to 6 locations. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So how fast was that ramp up for you?
The second store was built within a year. And then after that second year, we opened 3 stores in Windy Hills, Dallas, and in Canton. And it just started going so fast because there was no competition at the time. But now we're seeing some competitive.
But what's awesome about competition is that these vape shops that just think that they can open up right beside us, we survive with so many different variety of products. So if you want me to match your price, I don't mind matching your price because, you know, we have so many other different products that we can sell to the consumer. So if a vape shop is charging $10 for a product, and they say the guy down the street says, hey, the guys are charging $9, I'll still match it at $9.
Or eight or seven or six
or whatever we have to do, because I don't mind losing money on one product to gain a customer for life.
And how do you balance right now doing school and running 5 or 6 businesses? You know, it's tough enough to run a business as it is. How do you guys balance out the management responsibilities and division of time and trying to do that as well?
A lot of Red Bull, Dunkin' Donuts. But we work as a team.
Is there like a Red Bull vape? Do they have something?
We actually do. It has caffeine in it as well.
Yeah. Caffeine vape?
We had to put a warning on it.
You gotta hook Hanks up with that. Not like he doesn't need more energy now, but how does that really, is that what it is?
Yeah,
we don't sleep that much, but we work hard, but we don't really see it as work because we actually genuinely enjoy what we do.
Right.
And
I was just gonna go back literally all it is, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, you have your flight caffeine juice. But it really is, you know, I feel like everything I do every day, I want to do it. No one's telling me, hey, you have to do this. So if I work 60 or 70 hours a week in my business and then another 20 or 30 in school, I don't mind it because that's what I enjoy. I don't enjoy the 20 or 30 hours in school. But I do enjoy actually
working. Except for which part of school?
Well, I enjoy pretty much just Chris Hanks' class, actually. Okay. But because it reminds me of like Tony Robbins, you know, or Simon Sinek trying
that's
to actually.
That's a high compliment.
Really? I remind you of Tony Robbins or Simon Sinek.
More Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins, really?
Yeah, because I feel like I actually like learn something. I feel like I learned something, but it's more like, hey, I want to actually go do something. I want to go actually like work right when I leave, compared to like, hey, I go into most classes. I'm like, dang, I just want to go home right now. You give me ideas. I'm like, yeah, I need to go to work right now. It's like a combination, I guess, of caffeine and Chris Hanks.
Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. If you've never been down here, you ought to check it out sometime in Sandy Spring. We're here with Sammy and Ben today. They're the owners of the Cloud9 Smoke and Vape Company. Sounds like they got 6 stores now and the business is booming. And I know that industry is booming as a whole. Sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, booming at Kennesaw State right now. I'm Ted Jenkin, your co-host. You can hear a replay of all of our broadcasts. If you missed this first segment with Sammy and Ben, you ought to check it out at shrimptankpodcast.com or download us on iTunes, where you can get the Shrimp Tank and listen to it in your car, because terrestrial radio is dying. You probably want to shut that off. Listen to this stuff. You're not going to learn anything. Listen to radio. Listen to this kind of stuff. You might actually make some more money today or at your desk and get some ideas. And how about this inspiration here, talking to these two guys today, that literally saw their parents own a hookah lounge, found a little niche in it, and now have turned it into a multi-million dollar business. That's what the American dream is all about. So in our second segment today, what we're going to do is talk about hot or not. And just interesting seeing where you guys are at life and a growing business. And so hot or not, you know, partying or run the business or both? You know, what's, how does it work? I mean, yeah, I was just going to ask you guys, anyone can answer in here, you know, what's the deal? You know, how do you balance out being a college student and living the life of a college student and being a business owner, which is serious stuff?
Well, luckily, all our trade shows and conventions are in Las Vegas and Miami. So I haven't had a real vacation in probably about 3 years, but I get to go to Vegas 4 times a year and Miami twice a year. So I get to find a little fun in that.
Just a little bit, right? Where do you stay when you go to Vegas?
Caesar's Palace, always.
Nice. Yeah. That's good. It's in the middle of the strip.
Yeah. No, it's a great time. But we don't really get much vacations. I haven't seen our condo in Florida in, what, maybe 2 years. But it's a good time.
So, okay, hot or not, college or go it alone? Like, okay, let me explain that better, because some people might argue that, look, I've got this business, right? So let's get rid of college and let's just focus full throttle on this business. But you guys are both in school now. So college, hot or not?
To be honest with you, I thought college was a total complete waste of time until I joined or became a part of the entrepreneurship program. I felt like college was trying to teach us how to work for corporate companies and really never taught anyone how to be like an entrepreneur.
Or be teachers.
Or be a teacher, which is nothing wrong with that. But I would strongly recommend at least trying. I mean, a degree is always good, but if you have a good idea, I would try to go at it.
Yeah, and I believe that the reason why we are able to move forward is because when we first started, we had our father who's very entrepreneurial minded. So he was able to guide us. So it wasn't even about like school at the time. But if we didn't have that, we'd definitely need I feel like we would need somebody to guide us through our journey. So
did you guys see Absinthe while you were out in Vegas? Have you seen the show Outside of Caesars in the little tent?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, you got to go to that next time. My good friend Lee Heisman turned me on to that show, but it's basically part vaudeville, part Cirque du Soleil. It's a little bit of both. There's only about 16 rows in the theater. And the leader of it is a guy named the Gazillionaire. Now, if you don't like profanity and being, you know, being made fun of, it's a bad show. But if you like seeing people get made fun of and profanity, it's a great show. You have to see Absinthe next time you go out there. I recommend a Red Bull vape before you go. So I guess since you guys have managers of these stores now and they're retail stores, is it hot or not to bonus out your managers based upon store profits?
We do a commission incentive. If they do better than last year's numbers, we'll give them 1% of the sales of that store.
Nice.
So it's pretty good. But you could tell that there's a lot more discounts closer towards the end of the month because they're trying to hit that number. Which is not. So, I mean, we're trying to figure out something or help employee compensation.
Has that been hard to figure out a comp plan to get a store manager excited about growing sales?
Yeah, other than their salary going up, that's the only thing. But we're working on a better commission plan. But
we're working on a better commission plan. But also, we're trying to figure out a happy median for everybody in the company, not just the managers, but we're trying to get everybody motivated. Generally, we have very motivated employees and managers, but we recently started doing the bonuses, so that's really been helping.
All right, so bootstrapping, hot or not?
We believe in bootstrapping. Some people do not, but that's what we started with. We put every single dollar we got back into the business, and we never taken a loan out, never had investor money.
So you've funded all your expansion with current cash. Like, you know, the cash from one store opens up the next store, and inventory from one, you move over?
Yes, sir. We have $4 million in just paid inventory, and we've never taken a loan out for. We have in our warehouse enough inventory to open up another 8 stores if we had the possibility of expanding, but we're trying to focus on these 6 stores first before we keep expanding.
Is that too much inventory?
Well, we wholesale as well to a lot of stores.
And how do you do that? Through the internet or through?
honestly more word of mouth. All our local competitors shop from us, not knowing that it's private label that they're buying. And hope none of our competitors are listening. But no, it's we keep a lot of inventory on hand because we wholesale. But then on the other hand, we do have dead inventory that is sitting there that I don't know what to do with. I can't even give it away.
You can only let the inventory age so long, right? It's got to do something. Otherwise, it's just not making you money.
Especially in the vape industry, every couple months, there's the new hottest product or new hottest thing. And to get a good deal from in China, you have to buy by the pallet. So it's sometimes...
Is that where you buy most of the product from, is China?
No. It actually is in China. Our biggest differentiator is that we... buy majority of our products from American suppliers, especially in the glass industry. Hookah suppliers will be in
Egypt, Turkey,
and different places like that. But you know, the electronic cigarette hardware comes from China, so that's why to get a good deal on that, to be able to beat your competitor's price, you have to buy directly from the company from China in pallets.
And if Georgia does pass a marijuana law, they may say it's recreational legal here, or medical marijuana actually becomes bigger. Does that change your guys' business? Do you then stay in the vape business, or then do you become a potential dispensary, or is that a different business?
I'd personally like to have a dispensary next door to my Cloud Nine, and then also I'd like to have like a CC's Pizza or like a Stevie B's. Because if you have all three of those, I think.
So what's your logic on that, Sammy? What, why?
Marijuana, pizza, and a Cinnabon.
So right next, yeah, right there.
I get it.
That's
yeah. Because some people are gonna get hungry, and if you're gonna supply them with everything, might as well just give them the whole shebang. You know, make money on every step of the way.
But no, we've thought about it. We're gonna get into the if everything goes legal, we're gonna try to get into the legalization. My father owns 30 acres up in Ball Ground. We've been thinking about doing something up there with it.
Don't worry about it. Lee and I smoked right before the show. I think it's a decent idea. I mean, you look what happened in Colorado. There's $1 billion of tax revenue collected by the state. The business is booming out there. Washington, D.C., now Massachusetts and Washington and Oregon, and obviously California being the big dog in here, is going recreational in 2018. Do you all see that being a trend that could happen here in Georgia? Do you think it'll make its way here?
Well, they're working on a decriminalization bill in Fulton County right now. To anything under a half ounce would just be a ticket instead of ruining people's lives. Mm-hmm. I think it's slowly coming here. But on the other hand, if it stays illegal, it's going to have a lot less competitors than some of our friends that are in California and Colorado. There's a smoke shop in every single corner. So
I thought one of the ideas that I heard, Chris, when I was there that night, and maybe we heard on this program too, on the Shrimp Tank, was that one of the women that came on, I believe, had a skate and bake.
Yes.
Shop. Am I not incorrect?
But you it had nothing to do with
it was bake and skate.
Bake and skate.
Bake and skate.
Yes.
But this is about baking goods and doing like longboard skating at the same time.
Yes, that was the concept.
Yep. I like the first idea, which was bake, wake, bake, and then skate, which seemed to make more sense, and then eat after.
So there could be a joint venture with Cloud Nine, maybe. Possible joint venture in the making.
It's all about the partnerships. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you're listening to here the Shrimp Tank right on Business Radio Networks. And thanks for joining us during your lunchtime here. As always, we try to provide you some great information about running a business and really help you learn about these different industries. I mean, over the last year, we've heard about all kinds of businesses from real estate to technology to the businesses that we're talking about today. And you learn along the way that if you can really get inside of an industry and you can learn how that business works, there are so many ways to make money in this country. It's amazing. If you just put your mind to it and you're willing to take the risk and willing to take a few lumps, you can make it happen. Now, every week on the Shrimp Tank, in our third segment here, we do a Plead the Fifth segment. And we're here with Sammy and Ben, who are the tremendous owners of a vape shop that's growing like crazy. 6 locations talking today. Maybe they would get to be 8 more, which is amazing. And we thought we'd go through. Now, Hanks is pretty good in this Plead the Fifth section. He's been pretty good. Now, that he's your instructor, I don't know if he has a competitive advantage here in knowing something that would be interesting. But we're going to do a few of these, and then we'll end up doing our post-show wrap-up right after this. So you got to plead the fifth.
All right. So I do have a plead the fifth. Okay. So since you guys are brothers and you guys work so many crazy hours together, so the biggest weakness of your partner?
The biggest weakness I think Sammy has is that he's scatterbrained. Like he's thinking about the next $1 million idea before we get finished the other $1 million idea. But I mean, that's not a bad thing, but I think Sammy's probably the most scatterbrained, and I wonder what he's gonna say about me.
I gotta think about this for a second.
All right, well, I'll give you a plea the fifth here in the middle, and Hanks is gonna appreciate this one quite a bit, as I'm gonna say it. Have the two of you ever vaped with the same woman? Notice I said vaped and nothing else, nothing more than that. Stone, you don't like that one, or no? It's that's not. You have the thumbs up on that. Have you ever have you know?
Not at the same time.
Okay, well that makes sense. I got that there. It's perfectly. I didn't know if you know. Just sometimes people vape together. Sometimes they don't. So you know, we needed to know that.
All right. So you guys both went on the retreat as well, which was kind of awesome. And I was impressed that you guys took off of work to be there at the retreat. What was your biggest surprise of the retreat?
I think the biggest surprise with the retreat is how open everyone was and how engaged everyone was. I didn't think that you could get people so engaged telling everyone their personal life. Like over a couple of days, the guy spilled their whole like life out. Compared to like a lot of your friends won't even tell you like how deep I got with these guys. So that was
my biggest take was honestly just being able to be open, and helped me a lot with public speaking. And I think it actually helped a lot of people with the public speaking and feeling comfortable around strangers.
Now, who's the best entrepreneur that you currently see in the Chris Hanks entrepreneur program at Kennesaw State University? Is there an entrepreneur in there that you guys actually have a legitimate, real running business that you respect, that you think's done a pretty good job so far?
I'm pretty impressed with Brian Keller's guitars.
Oh, the Keller guitars. Yeah,
Who was also on the retreat. Yeah.
Christian guitars. Those are pretty cool. I got a few picks that he gave me I brought home with me.
Oh, good. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty legit, right? So that's Brian. What would be your choice, Sammy?
He took mine.
You like the Keller guitars too, huh?
Well, I just think that it's like an actual business. A lot of people they came up and said, "Hey, I have this crazy idea," and it would be cool if they could implement it. But I don't know how they'd implement it.
Yeah, and you guys know implementation is a lot different than having an idea, and startups are all about implementation, right?
Your what happened to the to guy last year, Hanks, that said that he's got a thing that you strap around your back and it carries a skateboard and you could take it through campus?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
It was made out of like a parachute cord or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. So you can carry your skateboard around.
Put it upside down and
yeah. Made these carries slings the skateboard for the skateboard. I've actually seen that guy in the hall once or twice. He's never taken the classes in the curriculum in entrepreneurship, but I've seen him around in the hall like a couple times this year, but I have no idea what
happened. That idea went nowhere. What happened to the winners last year? Because I know Lee Heisman trains these winners.
Lee has the record of mentoring the winners. He's definitely undefeated. But actually, sad story about the winner, which was a business called Gavel, which is basically software for people who do auctions. But he got meningitis, and actually, we almost lost him. Yeah, what? He really got super sick, super sick. Lost a lot of weight and struggled. So yeah, he's fortunately back in action a little bit. He looks like he will graduate. And so that was even questionable at a certain time. But yeah, he's back. I went to see him in the hospital, and yeah, he was struggling for a while.
Guys, you know, when we have a lot of entrepreneurs, we talk about things like marriage. So, you know, now that you're running a business here at school, is it a good idea for somebody to date an entrepreneur? You know, what do you think about that? It's
they got to understand that if they don't want to pay the rent, they're going to have to deal with a busy person. And we both have longtime girlfriends, and they've been really helpful and understanding. But we do work really crazy hours, and probably only can see them at nighttime. But
yeah, our biggest thing is that we believe if you work when you're young and you create a, you know, a viable, scalable business, that you don't have to work. You can retire earlier than most people. So we kind of explain, hey, if we build this foundation and we build this business, all our houses, all our cars are paid off for. All we have to pay for is food and travel. We can go wherever we want if that's what we want to do.
But, you know, so one thing I'm curious about is, you know, being millennials and you guys get made fun of a lot for your work ethic, and you guys exhibit such strong work ethic. I mean, you know, full-time students, you guys are busting hump on the business. That's one thing I've learned about you guys is how incredibly hard you do work. So what would you recommend to sort of other young entrepreneurs about that? I mean, how do you sort of instill that in others?
I believe my work ethic I got it from my dad. When he used to wake up in the morning and be at work at 8 a.m. and be home at 10 p.m. Now it's not like that. He comes and sees us all day. But prior, he really we saw him work hard in long hours. He made good money, but he did it for almost 13, 14 years when we were growing up. So that work ethic, we saw it from him, but also we see it as like our business and our, you know, our future. So we're investing in our future.
And he also instilled that nobody's going to give you anything for free, or there's no handouts. And that's where we sort of figured, like, and then we saw the more we worked, the more revenue we were getting. So it actually became a fun thing to do, is to work as much as we possibly could.
Well, guys, this is an outstanding interview today, and I want to thank both of you for coming on the show, and also congratulate you on your success. I mean, this is the inspiration that a lot of other young folks should get out there, that, look, at the end of the day, the backbone of America are small business owners. It's the people that get up and build the businesses and hire the people and make the merry-go-round go around. So congratulations on your success. And for those people that are listening to the program today and they want to get in touch with you guys, or come down and, you know, try a vape, get in a contest, get some juice, whatever may be the case, how can they get in touch with you to learn more about your business?
They can go to cloud9smokeco.com, see all our locations there. We have 6 locations in Cherokee County, Cobb County, and Fulton County, and around the Metro Atlanta area.
And what did you guys say were right on the horizon? You have an app that's coming out, or a new website that's going to be great for people that want to learn more about vaping?
Yeah, so we have a website that's being developed right now. It's called Smoker's Compass. It's www.smokerscompass.com. And it will help you find all your smoke shops, hookah lounges, vape shops, dispensaries, and MMJ doctors. But also, the nice part is we have a category that's for glass galleries. So if you're looking for any high-end glass products, you'll be able to find them categorized alone, because there's a difference between a smoke shop and a glass gallery.
Boy, Chris, that was a lot more eloquent than I would have said. Glass products.
Glass products.
Glass products. But I think, you know, if you need a good glass pipe, that's where you want to get it. You want to get it from these guys. But thanks again, guys, for coming on the show. We look forward to seeing you all next Thursday at 11:30. Tune into the Shrimp Tank. You'll hear more from the brightest and best entrepreneurs right here in the state of Georgia on the Business Radio X Networks.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.